Well, good morning, everybody. I'm excited about today. You excited? Okay, we've been in a series of joy, so we need to make sure you see some smiley faces. I know that today is an interesting day because as a Browns fan, there's not a whole lot to be joyful about. April is finding that. And the Steeler fans out there, the game's at 4:25, so we got some time. And we try not to let that win or losses describe what our joy is. Last Sunday morning, I was awoken by a crash in our house. And we've had some things that have happened this year in our home already. And we woke up and I walked out and our Christmas tree was laying horizontal on the ground. That's not my Christmas tree, but it kind of looked like that exact same thing. And so, in fact, as I looked closer at this picture, it's the same stand on the base. So I think it's got something to do with it. If you have one of these bases, watch out. So I just kind of stood there and as the girls walked out. And you know, it's a kind of that feeling of you're kind of mad and sad at the same time, because there were some really nice ornaments on there that broke, like some meaningful ones, some ones that, you know, mom and dad gave me and stuff like that. So I'm just kind of standing there going like, this is the worst. This is Sunday morning. I'm getting ready to go to church. And this is what I wake up to, you know. And one of my girls goes, Dad, it's okay. It's the memories we have together. And they're just things. And I just wanted to kind of be mad and sad, you know. I wanted my moment of madness and sadness. Let's just put it, you know, sometimes you just want that. But it kind of helps when you begin just to put things into perspective. And you realize that when you have the right perspective to it, it's going to be okay, because a couple years from now, maybe like 4 or 5, we'll look back at 2017, the year the tree fell, and probably laugh a little bit. And it won't be any tears involved in that. But right now, it was just kind of like, you know? And I think my saddest was the fact that my Ben Roethlisberger lost his legs in that. So I wasn't quite sure. I'm glad they won last week, because I was really concerned that this was an omen of him, you know. I was thinking like Lieutenant Dan, he has no legs. But anyway, if this is going to be a distraction, I don't want to distract any non-Steeler fans with that being here, so slay it right there. But anyways, I began to realize again that joy truly is a choice. It really, really is. And I think as we begin to think about every part of our life, that joy really does become a choice. And last Saturday, we got to go down and to help my friend Jonathan that I met this past year. And we had this good group of people that went along, and we went down. And the first part of the day didn't go exactly as it planned to go. Sometimes plans change, all right? I can tell you, if you go on missions of any kind, I always tell people you got to be flexible, all right? Be flexible. And I used to be a really, really good actor. Like, I used to be really, really good at like not showing my disappointment sometimes. And I think that I do it well. And then Jonathan walks in, he goes, I know you're disappointed. And I'm like, no, I'm trying not hard to look disappointed, because I really want to take this whole group underneath the bridges, and we're going to pass out coats and all this kind of stuff and all these things we wanted to have happen. And he goes, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm like, listen, man, it's okay. It's all right. You know, and I really meant it, but sometimes your face doesn't show how you really feel. People always ask you, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I'm good. I'm really good. But my face isn't like conveying the same way that my heart and mind are feeling. And so we went down that day, and I think we have some pictures there of one before that. So we're in this place on West 117th that he owns. And I just want to, like, Jonathan, if there's a male Mother Teresa, it's Jonathan, all right? I mean, I know that's probably a big statement to put out there, but this guy, he does not care to be known. He just loves people. And he feels so passionate about what he's doing and serving and giving out food and clothes and the people that are homeless underneath the bridges. And so he's not a very organized guy. And I'm not like, if he was here, I would tell him the same thing. Because he has these four storage units inside this place. And I don't know if you've ever had to do storage like this before. This is $800 a month to keep stuff for what he's trying to give out to other people. And I mean, and there was a couple other people there, and it was like a train wreck in some of these rooms. I mean, it was worse than my Christmas tree being down, trust me. And so, but as we went in and just kind of working through things, and not all of us had a lot of stuff to do when we were trying to work through it, but I was so proud of everybody here that, you know, no one gave attitude. Nobody gave any kind of like, oh, I can't believe we didn't go, you know, that we didn't get to do exactly what we wanted to do. But I look at this and it made me look at this and say, you know what, all those cans up there, all those coats, those are all for people that desperately need it. They're really going through some hard times. And the next one we go to is when we got to go and we got to serve some food at the Cove United Methodist Church. They do a dinner there. They do a dinner there once a month. He does it at a bunch of different places, but this is where they go once a month, to this place. And so people came in, and you know, you realize that all this, the serving part, it really comes down for me about stories. When you really get to sit down and talk to somebody. And I got to talk to this guy named Mitchell. And so he goes, Mitchell, like in Mitchell's ice cream. I'm like, oh, I know, trust me. You don't have to explain Mitchell's to me. So, but he's 67 and he's just going through some hard times, and he's going through, like, his income is just minimal. And so he is so appreciative of these meals that happen that it literally makes it possible for him to get a hot meal almost every day. Like, most of us aren't thinking about, am I going to have a hot meal today? Perspective, okay? It's perspective. When we start thinking about life, and we start thinking about how things are going, I'll tell you what, use perspective. It's not Nicaragua. It's not Trinidad or Peru. It's Lakewood. It's people that there's a schedule somewhere that says where hot meals are throughout the month. And so, this guy, he's just like, I'm just trying to work it out. Well, we began to sit there and talk, and it's funny when you really get to start to talk to people and you get to hear their story, it's unbelievable. Like, so he found out that our common ground was we both have an Assemblies of God background, okay? Which I didn't expect that at all. I'm like, okay, Assemblies of God, like, oh yeah, Springfield, and like, I'm like, he wasn't like messing with me. He was like, he like knew everything that was going on, and he goes, you know, I just tell me how he was hurt and all these things and legalism and all that kind of stuff, and basically just kind of walked away from all of that stuff. And so for him, that even though I'm 48, I looked like a young man to him, which made me happy. So I want to hang out with more 67-year-olds to make me feel, to think that I'm a young buck, which makes me really, really happy. So, but we were sitting there talking, and he says, Jeff, I'm so glad to meet you. It makes me so happy to know that there's turns that have been made, and that there's a generation that does care, and there is a generation that does want to know who Jesus is. And because it puts my hope and faith back in the church, to know that the way that it was happened to me and the way that I was hurt, you know, by it. So we got to talk for a while, and it was really, really great. And I want to see Mitchell again. I just know that God has a plan for Mitchell's life. And it doesn't matter what age you are in the mix, he has a plan for him, and his story's not finished. And so I just want to encourage you guys that we're going to continue to do more things. And, you know, Jonathan already said, whoever wants to go, we're going to go to every bridge. We're going to go underneath every bridge, and I'll take you wherever you guys want to go. So if anybody wants to do that with me in the new year, let's just put it on the calendar. So just come talk to me afterwards. We're going to be starting our teams of Encounter God, Extend Love, and Experience Life teams, and we're going to be doing stuff. And so Extend Love, we're going to hit some bridges in the new year when it's super, super cold. And so the last thing I want to say about that outreach was this is when you put things in the right perspective. There was probably not as many people that came to the dinner as they expected, but we were there, and Jonathan said, hey, can you come with me? And it wound up being that there was this lady that ended up, she got beat up the night before. And she's living outside in an open area. And I got to see her. She had this huge black eye. And I'm just like, my goodness, like this lady has nothing. Like why is this happening? She's in her upper 60s living outside. And so I went with Jonathan. We went and got her, and we got her first night inside in a hotel in like 4 years. I can't even wrap my brain around that sometimes. Like that's really, like your worst day. I mean, we've had tough days. A lot of things happened in the past 4 years, but man, I have a roof over my head. I haven't had a roof over my head over the past 4 years. But to do that many years in a row without being a good night's sleep, a warm space. And it was snowing that day. I mean, if you remember that Saturday, it was snowing. So I just say this, it's perspective. The joy truly is a choice. It's a choice that we make. And so I just want to encourage you guys that sometimes those outreaches can be a lot about us feeling good that we did something, and not sometimes what it needs to be is that we're helping people who desperately need help. And so I'm going to tell you, in the new year, we're going to do more of it. And if you want to come along, if it's two of you or 10 of you or 20 of you, we're going to do some really good things. Okay. Who's up for that? Anybody thinking that'd be fun to do and help some people out? So I said real quick that it's football season, but right after football season, does anybody know what happens right after football season? What? Organize. That's good. It's the same letter though. Olympics. The Olympics actually happened. I love the Olympics. Is anybody else an Olympic fan? I just love the Olympics. And I think why I love the Olympics is that I love all the stories. I love all the hard work that goes into what happens. Like when they go and they do those races, and like I know my wife loves like the figure skating stuff. I work through that because that's a little hard for me to watch for long periods of time. Especially she loves the ice dancing one where I'm like, what is that? How is that a sport? You know? But that's okay because I still want to be a curler, and I don't know if that's a sport, but it's just I just love it. That's my last aspiration as an Olympic athlete, is that I think I can get down and do that. I don't know. I'm sorry. Anyone want to be on my team? Curling team? Anybody thought about that? Yeah, I knew there were some people. Yes. All right. Awesome. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. So we'll have an Oak River curling team. That'd be awesome. But they were saying about these athletes that the some of the saddest people from the Olympics are the people that win the silver medal. They said sometimes they're the saddest people because they recognize that they were this close to gold. And all those years of training and all those years of, you know, of getting up early and sacrifice and all that kind of stuff. But you know who the happiest people are? Guess who the happiest people are? The bronze medalists. That's correct. Do you know why? Because they were this close to not being on the podium. They were this close to being fourth, and all that training and all that hard work and all everything that took, that the bronze medalist is actually the happiest, which is crazy to believe because you think it would be the gold medalist. And so it's perspective. It's so much perspective when we look at life. And so I really believe that a lot of times that we got to realize that joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. And that your focus really does determine what your reality is. Your focus really does do that. And so I think that Some of us, it's really easy that we can focus on the worst circumstances. Like sometimes we can look at something and we can see the worst in it. We all know those people. We might be those people, all right? That we look at the worst in circumstances. And so, but we need to look at the opposite and say, isn't there good in everything? Isn't there something that is better, you know, that happens in everything? And I think that as we look at that and say, you know what, joy truly is a choice, we can make a much bigger difference. When you think about when you fell in love, all right? How many married people out there? All right? Okay? All right? I remember when Amber and I were dating that I had to drive like 40 minutes to go see her, you know, on a regular basis. And it's amazing what you do, you know, when you care. And I'll tell you what, that you don't see flaws. You just see how much you love, all right? Amber doesn't have any flaws. I'm probably the more flawed one. So I'm thankful that she loves me through my flaws. But I think about all the things that in what we have when we have joy. When we really, really, truly have joy, we begin to look at that and we begin to see through that set of eyes. And you begin to look at all the great things that we have in our lives, all the things that we should be really, really thankful for. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Acts chapter 16. And I think this is just a phenomenal story. And so this is Paul and Silas. Remember when Paul and Silas was in prison? And so the kind of the setup is, as we are going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Okay? So she had an evil spirit about her, and she would basically make these owners money by her telling these fortunes to people. Verse 17 says, She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. All right? How many of you have had someone annoying around you for any length of time? I'm glad we're just being honest here today, right? Yes. All right. And the thing about this story, I mean, like, here she is, like, she's not even, like, talking bad about them. She's, like, saying, these people are awesome. They're so amazing. And they can heal people, and they can see things that we can't see sometimes. And this is, and then she kept doing this for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed. Isn't it good to know that Paul even got annoyed a little bit? I mean, come on. It felt good for me. Turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. It didn't say that very second. So it was like another hour. Must have been a long hour. He's just thankful. God, please. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. And they're taking my money. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave them orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. I had the opportunity to be in Greece back in 2009. I actually got to go to Philippi. And I actually saw where this prison was. Does everybody have like an envision what you like this looks like? You know, it was down in the ground. It was a dungeon type thing. Like you couldn't get into it, but it was down in, all right? And it was just wild being there, like thinking that I'm standing in the area where this girl was annoying them that turned into a bad day for Paul and Silas. It was very weird. It was kind of one of those cool moments, just like, whoa, I am standing in history, you know, right here. And so it goes on here to say, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. That verse does not say, and around midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining about their circumstances. It doesn't say that. And I can just imagine, I don't know, this is like my, I want to like envision like the movie of this thing, that I just imagine Silas being like, why did I hook up with this dude? Like, why did I link arms with Paul? Like, I know enough of his background of what's going on. Like, why did I link up with this guy? And so I'm sure that they're there and it's dark. It's wet. You've been beaten like crazy, bleeding. And you just want to complain, right? I would. I'm just being honest. I'd be like, here I am. I'm trying to serve God. And this is what happens to me. And I just imagine Paul going, hey, Silas, let's sing. And I just see Silas going, shut up, Paul. Shut up. No, I'm not going to sing. And I just imagine Paul going, I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. And Silas is like, oh, I don't want, oh, okay, all right. And they join in together and they begin to sing. And they begin to sing. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Why? Because they chose joy. Consider it pure joy to go through trials. I'm not sure. I need to look up more about what pure joy is, because that doesn't feel like pure joy to me. But they had pure joy of knowing that, God, you're in control. You're in control of the scenario. You're in control of our lives. I don't know about you, but when it comes time, could you get to a spiritual slump? Have you ever been there before? You ever been in a slump before? Just me? I'm the only one? Okay, thanks. I thought I'd move on to the next point because you guys didn't need this part. All right? We've all hit these spiritual slumps. We've all hit these hard times. And you know what typically happens in that? What are we focused on? I remember as a kid growing up, and I always remember, I've for years and years in kids' church, and that's why I still love to see kids learning in kids' church, of joy, Jesus, others, and you. You know, there's like a song with that and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, that's such kid stuff, you know? But it's so true. When you put things in the right perspective and in the right order, things go a lot better. When you keep Jesus first in all things, it really changes the perspective. If you go down and you help other people out when you're going through some stuff, you put others second in that, I tell you what, there's something that really is about that with joy. And you keep yourself in the right perspective, and it really, really changes a lot of things. It says, when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. Okay? Remember, he was told, like, keep these guys locked up. You've got one job. All right? One job. You keep these guys locked up. So he knew that if that wasn't happening, he might as well just do it himself. He might as well just save save everything else, save the whole processional of me dying. I'm just going to do it myself. Supposing that the prisoners had escaped, but Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." You know, when you have the right perspective and you know that God's in control, you're not worried. That you would think that, okay, I sang, this earthquake happened, the gates opened up, this is my exit right here. But when you're that in tune with God, you know there's a bigger picture to this thing. It's not just about you. When you put it in the right perspective, when you put Jesus first, you put others second, you put yourself last, that's when you get that true joy. It's when you choose joy. I don't know. I'm excited today. I don't know. I mean, this is such good stuff. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Whew. Isn't that awesome? Isn't this like an amazing story? Like, this is like such goodness. Like, such, to see the joy of this jailer. I mean, like, this jailer goes from, "I'm going to kill myself." Like, imagine, this is probably only in a couple minutes from pulling sword out, earth. Like, we read these stories and they're just like, "Oh yeah, the earthquake happened and dude pulled a sword out on himself." And then, like, minutes later, he's saying, "How do I get saved? How do I ask?" Like, let's not forget how big this story is. I mean, this is like a big deal. Whew. Man. Sometimes we lose the big picture of things. We lose the big picture. Where's all my teenagers at? College students at? All right. All right. You ready? You ready? Here's a letter that I found. Okay. "Dear Mom and Dad, I have so much to tell you. Because of the fire in my dorm set off by student riots, I experienced temporary lung damage and had to go to the hospital. While I was there, I fell in love with the orderly and we had moved in together. I dropped out of school, and when I found out I was pregnant and he got fired because of his drinking, so we're going to move to Alaska where we might get married after the birth of our baby. Your loving daughter. P.S. None of this really happened, but I did flunk my chemistry class. I just wanted to keep it in perspective." Don't do that. 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 All right? You're going to Google that story. I know. You're going to rewrite it. Sometimes we need to zoom out a little bit. We need to zoom out and get a bigger picture and get a bigger perspective of what's going on in our lives. Joy is a choice. If we can learn how to take the eyes off our external circumstances and begin focusing on God, I'll tell you, you watch a new perspective take over. You watch a new level of joy that happens in your life. When we can zoom out and refocus, we refocus that God loves me when I least expect it and when I least deserve it. We can refocus on that, and we know that God is going to get me where I need to go. That he's not shocked by the circumstances that go on in our life. There's no curveball that's thrown at God going like, "Oh my goodness, okay, got to regroup, new plan." All right? He's not surprised by those things. And the last one of that too is just that, you know what? We have eternity to look forward to with God. And we start taking that eternal perspective, that eternal mindset. It really helps us to look past the sorrow and the pain that we have sometimes in the present. Verse 31, and they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and his family. Do you read that? Like, the jailer washed their wounds. This is so intriguing to me, you know? Like, here is the ones that he was supposed to guard and all these things. I mean, like, all within this hour of time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Did anybody ever watch the movie, the show 24? Did you ever see all those things that happened in 1 hour of that show? I love that show. But anyways, I look at this and say, man, this all happened so real time, so fast. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And I'll tell you what, I think in a lifetime, we look for a couple stories that we love to tell, right? This would be one of those ones. This would be that Thanksgiving meal one. Hey, Uncle Paul, could you tell about the story about Paul, you and Silas? I mean, like, that kind of story. I can just see people come to know who Jesus is. And so, the outcome of your life is really determined by your outlook. It's determined by your outlook of life. That last Saturday, talking to Mitchell, some of those other ones down there, it just really brings perspective back again all the time. Helps you to really realize what's the most important. To know that joy is a choice. Joy also has it's a mindset that we have to have. Paul and Silas, when you start living in that level of joy, your mind just works differently. You do things that you normally wouldn't do. Earthquake happens, gates open up, we're gone. Right? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. The gates are gone, and we're going out. But when you have a mindset like they had, it was like the jailer needs to know Jesus. I think Paul knew this probably wasn't his last rodeo of being beat or hurt again. So when you live in that kind of mindset and you're still alive and God's still in control of all those things, you think differently. You have a different perspective on how you do life. I know for all us adults in here, Christmas is much different now, isn't it? Isn't your mindset of Christmas different than when you were a kid? Shouldn't that be the same thing on our faith? We're not like kids in our faith anymore. Like we should be adults in this thing. And realize that, man, time is short. Time is short. I don't know. Do you think there's any significance that we're calling Jerusalem the capital? How many of us grew up with that on the list of things that probably needed to happen before Jesus returns? Anybody? Whew. I was like, whoa, this is like real. This is really happening in our lifetime. But there's such joy in that. Like, there's no fear in that. Like, there's joy in that. You know, I know there's a lot of things going on, but I'm just like, whoa, we're seeing these things all come into place, right? I read this Albert Einstein line. Never thought I'd get to bring Albert Einstein into a sermon, but here it is. You ready? All right. You can't solve a problem on the level it was created. Let that sink in for a second. You can't solve a problem on the same level it was created. problems created on the human plane or the human level are solved on the supernatural level. Isn't that cool? Like, we try to do so many things on our own strength, don't we? Sometimes we make prayer or going to God some of the last things that we do, or at least not first. I won't say the last thing we do, but sometimes it's not the first thing that we do. I want to tell you, when you have that level of joy and you make it a choice and it becomes a mindset for you, do you know what then it turns into? It turns into a lifestyle. Have you been around people that are just joyful before? I mean, you just love to be around them. Sometimes there are people that seems like they're too happy. That's a whole nother thing. But there's some people that just have a true sense of joy that you just know that if that comes up on your phone, that you're like excited to take that call. Or you know that you get to spend an hour with them for a cup of coffee. You know you're walking out better than you when you walked in. I want us to be that. We need more of that. This area needs more of those people that have true joy, that really walk around, that aren't afraid about what's going on around us. That's saying, hey, you know what? This is all part of God's plan. All right, we're a very small part in this story. We're in the story, but man, we are background characters of this story. And when you're in a walk with that kind of thoughts and that kind of mindset, but say you start living that way on a regular basis, boy, problems feel very different. Problems don't feel as high and low anymore. It's kind of more even, you know? You don't live that life going like, okay, something good happened. Well, I know something good happened. Karma, that something bad is going to happen. I hate that word. I hate karma. Ugh. You know, I want to live that, you know, that every single battle that we have, that there's a victory. All right? When there's a battle, there's going to be another victory. Too many people live there like, oh, we had a victory. There's going to be another battle. I know there's going to be another battle. Hey, is it the same thing? It's not the same thing. It's just deciding which side you just choose to take on. Say, there's going to be a battle. I know there's going to be a victory. I know that God is going to come through in his timing and in his way. I just want you to close your eyes. I know that our time is coming up here to an end. I just want you to look at your life right now. Just take a good inventory right now about things that are going on. Man, we get so busy. I just want you to just enjoy a moment. Just enjoy God for a second. We had a great time of worship today. For some of you today, I don't want to see you walk away from God when things get tough. I want it to be a time that it makes you press in more. That it makes you want to worship. It makes you want to get in the Word. It makes you take the focus off yourself. I think for some of you, the circumstances that you complain about become the chains that imprison you. And I believe that God wants to break those chains off you today. He wants to break those chains off. And not just for you, not just for yourself, but because there's a lot of other people who need to know who Jesus is. And they need to see it because there's joy in your life. People are going to want Jesus more because they see the joy, even though your circumstances might not be perfect and they might be hard. But I tell you what, you get that mindset and you get that lifestyle of joy, it changes everything. What you focus on will really change your circumstances. I want to see you choose joy. I want you to focus on who God is and the things he wants to show you so that you can help others and you can care for them. I'm going to have the altar team come up here. You guys, we want to come up. As I was praying for you guys this week, I was just thinking about how that I think some of you that you've lost some joy. And it can be from a variety of things. I'm not going to list the 90 things that it's going to be. All I know is that there's some of you that maybe it might be apathy, that you just, everything feels like nothing's changing. I want to encourage you that God wants to fill you with a level of joy. I kept going back to that. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me. I just kept coming back to you. You guys remember that song? I just feel like that for some of you today. Because a lot of you in this room, you've been serving Jesus for a long, long time. And it's almost hard when you see somebody else that has some joy. I want to encourage you that it's for you. It's for you today. There's some of you that are going through some circumstances that are very real. And God's been stealing your joy. Or not God's, that your joy has been stolen. God wants to restore that joy in you today. I want to pray with you right now. And if we have some music, that's awesome. That'd be great. But I want to encourage, please don't walk out that door today. I know a lot of times we have Sundays, we have a lot of stuff that's going on. But man, take 5 minutes up and come up here and pray with somebody. Or if you can't stay, at least connect with somebody and say, can we talk this week? Let's make this real, okay? This is why the church exists. We're a family, we're a community that need each other, all right? When we go through highs and lows, that's when we need each other. So Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you will help everyone that's here in this place today. God, I pray now that you restore joy, the joy that they had when they accepted you into their lives years ago. And maybe for some of them, it's been such a long time that they can maybe can't remember what that felt like, or maybe didn't feel as real because it was as a kid. But I'm going to tell you that there's a joy that you want to put inside of us that's going to help us and to help others come to know you. So God, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Can we stand up together? Can we stand up together? I want to encourage you this week, and I want you to, if you want to come up here, but I want to encourage you to have like a page, your joy page this week. I'm not going to make you pull out a journal, but if you want to get a joy journal, it sounds better, all right, as a name. But write some things down that you're thankful for, that you're grateful for, and that. But I knew if you got you up, at least we'll help you a little bit further to get up front, because some of you need to come up here. You need to pray through something, okay? So God, restore joy, restore the joy of our salvation, and renew a right spirit within us. Let us make joy a choice, make it a mindset so that we can make it the lifestyle that you want us to lead. God, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to come up. We'd love to pray with you. Love to pray with any one of you today.